This is the John Clayton Show
on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in on the conversation at 866-979-ESPN. Now here's your host,
the professor,
John Clayton.
And good morning, everybody, on this Saturday. Of course, we're getting closer to Thanksgiving and, of course, big holiday and a busy week this week. Big game coming up tomorrow against the Arizona Cardinals. And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock taking your phone calls at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's get started with some busy headlines. Well, Washington State now qualifies for a bowl game with their win yesterday. And so that's huge. And they just absolutely blew out the game and just won big time, 48-13. And so now that puts them in a good stead. And it really puts their interim coach in a position where he may, if he can beat the Washington Huskies in the Apple Cup, he may end up getting, a longer-term extension and being able to keep his job. As far as news in the National Football League, and there's a lot of it, Chris Carson now looks like he's going to have surgery on his neck, and that's going to knock him out for the season. And, of course, they have two decisions to make as far as guys that are questionable because, DJ Reed, he's got a couple injuries, and so he's questionable. And Jamal Adams has a groin injury, and so he's questionable. Those will be game-time decisions. Arizona's had as many as 17 players on the injured list this week, and they're not going to have Justin Pugh, the guard. He's going to be out. They're not going to have DeAndre Hopkins. He's got a hamstring injury. He's going to be out. It's going to be a game-time decision on Kyler Murray. Buda Baker's all banged up with a heel injury, and so he's going to be questionable. So they have a lot of injuries. And then, of course, doesn't look like Jared Goff is going to be able to play. He has an oblique injury, so he's going to be replaced by Nick Boyle, which, of course, that's a big drop down for the worst team in football. The team is 0-8-1. And then, it looks like Tua's going to be okay. He's going to be able to play. No Alvin Kamara for the New Orleans Saints, so he's going to be out for the second straight week. And Khalil Mack is going to be out the rest of the season with a foot injury. He's going to get foot surgery. So big-time injuries in the National Football League, and those are our headlines. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to JB in Renton. Hey, JB.
Hey, Mr. Clayton. How you doing this fine Saturday morning, my friend?
Doing well. How are you?
Oh, doing well. Just great. Speaking of Alvin Kamara being out, the right and the left tackle is also out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're big. I didn't think they were going to have a winning season this year, with no Drew Brees, with starting the season with 10 guys that, that didn't have from last year because of injuries, suspensions, you name it. And now, they go from 5-2 to 5-4. How good is this team right now? And I'd say right now they're vulnerable to be a 500 team or less.
It's a possibility because, when you look at it, what you talked about at the start of the season, there were $100 million over the cap.
Right.
They had to release, also losing Drew Brees, they had to release a lot of players to get under that cap threshold. So thus, it thinned it up there as far as their depth was concerned. It left them with a thin depth on their team.
Uh-huh.
Now losing the right and left tackle, losing Alvin Kamara tomorrow, it's going to be tough. Now, the defense, if they can stop creating all kind of problems for themselves, stepping on their own foot and stop having issues, they could probably keep them in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying probably.
Probably.
That's a probably. Yeah, that's a big one. So that's the only thing that they can hold their head on. As far as right now, yes, the injuries are mounting up. This is my question to you. Being that we're playing a 17-game season, would it be a problem to – I know it's kind of like 10 days off, kind of like a second bye.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be something that the NFL would probably look into as far as with all these teams having these significant injuries?
I mean, ultimately, yeah, but I don't think they want to have the Super Bowl – it'll come at the end of February. I don't think that they want that to happen, so they want to try to monitor that. I mean, certainly at this stage, I think that they like the one-bye system, and that you can see that they've extended you know, the time they can have it, because I mean, we're having there's buys now that'll go into December, you know, like Miami, for example. I mean, they made the mistake, and I think it's a mistake, of going to an international game and putting their buys into the very last week, you know, so they're going to be not getting their buy to like a, what, week 13 or so. But yeah, it's like, but you know, at some point they probably do need to have, you know, the second buy. But again, that extends the season. And also, one of the things that's bad about the bye week, if you, you know, have too many buys, you know, it just weakens the product, because again, I mean, you have certain weeks where you get the buys and all of a sudden all the good teams aren't playing and you get a lot of bad teams playing.
True, understandable. We got a couple of games coming up this week. It could be some of some big significance as far as the playoff picture is concerned. Yeah. Look at, you're looking at the Washington football team surprised Tampa Bay last week, Mr. Clayton.
Right.
Took them out.
Yeah, but again, what you're seeing this year is, you know, there's no great team in the NFL this year. And a lot of the good teams are having bad weeks. And so it's like, I mean, you see drop-offs in so many different, you know, games and teams and all that stuff. And so you, I don't know where you read that. I mean, all you do is you look at Washington and you see they're like the 27th best defense in the league after being number two last year. And they got Taylor Heinicke at quarterback. And it's like, is that going to be good enough? I mean, you know, they, the thing about them is they won seven games last year, made the playoffs. But the problem with them is that, you know, they ended up, you know, playing the first place schedule. So they had three first place games. You know, and they'll have the one against Seattle. And, you know, that leaves them in a spot right now where they're going to have a tougher schedule than all the teams in their division. And you can see they're already paying the price.
Yeah, I know they lost Chase Young last week.
Yeah, they've lost Chase Young and Montez Sweat, two former first-round picks.
They lost both of their starting defensive ends. That is critical as far as that's concerned. I think they're just going on sheer will, Mr. Clayton. But it, what was intriguing about it, Ron Rivera playing his own quarterback, Cam Newton, coming back to town.
Yeah, I know. That is going to be interesting because, again, it's like, you know, Cam only had like eight plays last week. Yeah, but he did hit two touchdowns in those eight plays, one by run where he ripped off his helmet, got a 15-yard penalty, and shouted, "I'm back, I'm back." And he also threw a touchdown pass. That was kind of crazy. But we'll see where he stands. But, you know, they're sitting there now, Carolina, at 5-5. And, you know, they have a chance to go 6-5. And if they can win nine games, they have a decent chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the threshold is going to be between 9 and 10 games to either get that seventh seed or something like that, mm-hmm. or get in one of the wild card seeds, like that sixth seed or whatever. It's going to probably be that. What do you think about the Colts and Buffalo? Now, Buffalo, I mean, they had a rebound game from the Jacksonville game.
Right.
But, you know, the Colts are playing pretty good football. I mean,
they are.
I know Lenny. Yeah, yeah. What do you think about this game?
Well, I mean, I think the Colts right now are in a position where maybe, you know, they're not going to catch Tennessee because Tennessee's sitting at 8-2, but I think they have a chance to make the playoffs. I mean, Carson Wentz is doing well. They've got a good defense. Jonathan Taylor right now looks like the best running back in the league with Derrick Henry out for the season. And so you throw all that stuff together, and they definitely have a decent chance to try to make a wild card run. Now, again, you're looking at an AFC where there's 11 or 12 playoff contenders. And so, but, you know, the big thing for Indianapolis is that they opened up the season with five games against playoff teams, or at least teams that won 10 or more games last year, and what they went 1-4, and they didn't have, I mean, Carson Wentz had no practice going into the Seattle game, you know, and then they had, you know, Quentin Nelson banged up, and so they had all these issues, but now they've rebounded from it, and I think they're in a good spot.
Yeah, they're in a good position to make, at least try to, hey, everybody that's right now, they're vying for that last spot as far as that playoff picture. Is Kyler Murray playing tomorrow, or he's a game time decision?
Who's that again?
Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray's, it's debatable right now. He's questionable. I think he's going to be able to play, but I can't guarantee he's not going to be able to play because, you know, they've got so many injuries, you know, because Kyler right now is listed as questionable. You know, they won't have DeAndre Hopkins. He's already been ruled out. They won't have Justin Pugh on the offensive line, and Buda Baker's all banged up. He's questionable. So they've got a lot of injury issues right now. And so, but it's going to be a game-time decision as far as what happens on Kyler Murray.
What about the Bengals and the Raiders, Mr. Clayton? That would be a pretty intriguing game. It's coming up. The Bengals had a couple of hiccups. They already lost a couple of games. They're looking to rebound. What do you think about the Raiders?
I just think they're average. I mean, again, it's like, I think obviously Derek Carr is better than people think. I think that certainly, you know, their issues at wide receiver are becoming very pronounced, you know, with the Henry Ruggs, release and, you know, their offensive line not being all that good, you know, their defense being a little bit better. But still, I think that they're vulnerable. I mean, to me, they look like about a 8 or 9 win team. And, in some ways you can make the argument that the Bengals look a little bit better.
Yes, you can. You can. You know, in particular, the Bengals can get their defense to get back to what they were doing at the start of the year where they were playing very good.
Right.
That could be very interesting. Dallas is going to Kansas City. Now, that's a game that's very intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City looked like they got some of their mojo back last week. On the offensive side of the ball, the defense played much better.
Mm-hmm.
But here comes the Dallas team with Dak Prescott that can put up a lot of points in bunches. What do you think about that one?
I still think that they're good, and certainly they're the best team. They're going to win the NFC East. But they still have a lot of questions. I mean, Amari Cooper is not going to play because of COVID-19. He's going to be out. They've got some question marks in their defense. You know, they still don't have Lawrence back on the defensive line. That's taken away a little bit of their pass rush. So that's a big issue right now. But and of course, Randy Gregory's on the injured reserve list. So where's their pass rush coming from? And if you can't get to Joe Burrow, then he's going to be able to pass the ball like crazy.
They're going to have to put the linebacker Parsons at the defensive end like they did with Lawrence and try to hope they can get some sacks and generate some pressure from right there. Because if Patrick Mahomes gets into a rhythm, is Clyde Edwards-Helaire coming back?
I don't know if he's going to be back this week, but he's getting pretty close. I know that they designated him for return, and because of that, he's getting pretty close to getting back. So we'll find out later today by 1 o'clock whether they activate him, or if not, they'll activate him probably next week.
All right. He's worried. I know Big Ben went on the COVid protocol last week. He's coming back this week, right?
I don't know about that. I mean, it's still debatable because we will find out. Because remember, he got the COVID-19 on a Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And so, he may or may not be there, and that means they may have to go with Mason Rudolph.
Wow. But, you know, the Chargers, Mr. Clayton, they kind of stalled a little bit. I mean, they started the season off real hot. You know, Justin Herbert was still a good quarterback, good young and up-and-coming quarterback, was doing well. But what is their hiccup right now?
Their big hiccup right now is that I think they're going through some COVID-19 issues. Their hiccup is, they still kind of go back to some of the problems they've had in the last couple of years, winning the close games at the end. That's been an issue. But at the moment, Joey Bosa is going to be out. Tillery is going to be out in the defensive line. I mean, they're going to be down 3 defensive linemen. And for a 3-4 defense, that's a killer. And so that's a problem. I know that Adderley is going to probably miss the game. Mike Davis, the cornerback's going to miss the game. They may not have enough on defense to be able to, put this thing together and win.
Well, the offset is Ben Roethlisberger doesn't play. That could be a problem for the Steelers.
Agreed.
As far as that's concerned.
And it looks like T.J. Watt's going to miss the game, too.
He's going to, for the Steelers, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that'll definitely even up the score right there.
Yeah.
You'll probably have to go with the quarterback, Justin Herbert, on that one.
Mm-hmm.
You probably would, but I mean, like you said, they're missing a lot. What do you think about Tampa Bay's hiccups, Mr. Clayton? Is it predicated on the back end of that defense?
Yeah, I mean, the defense is, for some reason, not having as good of a season that you would expect they would. I mean, you know that they're good on offense. You know that Tom Brady has 27 touchdown passes, which leads the league. I mean, they've got a good offensive line. But whatever it is on defense, they've been really off this year. And, they've now lost, 2 in a row? But in the end, I still think that it's kind of, it's like looking at Tampa Bay is kind of look like Kansas City. Everybody starts to write them off, and then all of a sudden, boom, they bounce back. I think Tampa Bay still has a good chance to bounce back.
The Rams, that was a surprise.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, it
was.
That's why they got to rebound during this bye week and try to, you know, get some things going, get the running game going and all that. Hey, JB, thank you for the phone call.
Talk to you next Saturday, my friend. Have a good one.
Okay, thanks. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
860-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Raider Jim. Jim, how are you, and what the heck happened last week in the Raider game against Kansas City?
Yeah, John. Well, before we get going here, I just wanted to wish you and Pat, your ESPN family there at 710, your listeners and your callers, a very, very happy Thanksgiving, John.
Well, thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, John, they took a serious step in the wrong direction Sunday. It was really embarrassing. I mean, obviously, I think they're still suffering from the significant body blows, you know, that have occurred before and now recently with the team. And I mean, we talked a bit about this last week. It's a passionate game. I mean, the players are human beings.
Right.
They showed some signs of resilience with a 5-2 record, but now I think what we're witnessing is the emotional toll, the personal loss. You know, you can only compartmentalize so much, and for so long, and then you got to address it. And it's not encouraging, John. It's just not. I mean, for me, the most important thing is the offensive line is not what I thought it could be. While the defense is much improved, I mean, they just look spooked in the second half against the Chiefs.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Is like I never bought the idea. It's like, why do you trade three veteran offensive linemen when you really don't have anything in return? You know, I'm not sold on the center. I'm not sold on the right tackle. It's like, and you know, it's, and then of course, you know, Richie Incognito has never come back from his injury. They end up losing Denzel Good to ACL surgery. I mean, it's a mess.
Yeah, and to your credit, John, you pointed all this out before the season started.
Yeah.
And I was an naysayer. I was saying, I don't know. I think they wouldn't have done this unless they had to. And I think the they were having aging players I mean, Trent Brown was a disaster. I mean, of the 2 years they signed him, I think he played in 9 games.
Right.
And even then, it was marginal. So there was that. I think that Rodney Hudson proved to be a valuable piece for the Cardinals. He's still a great player.
Oh yeah.
I think they got rid of him because of the salary, and they were able to then go get Yannick Ngakoue, which they needed a pass rush, and they can tandem him with Max Crosby. That's been positive.
Right.
But Andre James is still the jury's out on him. He has good games sometimes. He has bad games, and so I think you're right. I think you're right, and losing those key players is not been good. Having John Simpson come in, a fourth rounder from Clemson, 2 years in, to fill in for Richie Incognito. I mean, Richie Incognito is who he is because he's Richie Incognito.
Right.
He's a very good player, but he's 38. So yeah, it's a problem. And the Raiders structurally have always, at least on the gridiron, have always had a propensity to have a really good offensive line, more than anything else in their history, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they've always prided themselves on that. But I think it's not been favorable this year. And you can see it in the run game because that counterbalances what the offense can do when they're trying to throw the ball, is if they've got a significant run game with Josh Jacobs, who, by the way, has not been healthy throughout the whole year, and Kenyon Drake. That's a good tandem to go with. But if they're not opening up the holes and these players have no holes to run through, then where are you? And you have to be reliant on the pass. And I see all these articles about how they're just going to have to put the ball in Derek Carr's hands. Yeah, that's great in theory, but we saw what happened last week with that. And the other thing is, where the heck is Darren Waller? Everybody knows that he's going to be double teamed. So what? Get him the ball. I mean,
right.
Find ways to get the guy the ball. He's your superstar. He's arguably maybe 4 or 5. He's at least in the top 3 for tight ends. As far
agreed.
As
agreed.
And, I mean, get him the ball. What is going on? He was conspicuously absent the last 2 games. And, by the way, they've lost the last 2 games. Mm-hmm. So I just, you know, okay, the loss of Henry Ruggs is important because it opened up the offense so they can get that underneath coverage. But still, find ways to get the guy the ball. And so, you know, and maybe it's play calling. I'm not sure. A lot of people argue that. I'm happy with what Greg Olsen is doing. In fact, I think what he's been doing is showing something different than what Gruden did, you know, by doing screen passes. I mean, and doing some underneath stuff that's been creative. But it still hasn't resulted in wins, John.
No, agreed.
And that's the problem. And so, and these are, you know, look, when you lose against the Giants, you lose against the Chicago Bears, those are games you have to win in order to have credibility. And they could have been on top of the AFC West if they'd have beat the Chiefs, but in their own crowd. There were more red jerseys in that stadium than there were black, sadly.
Mm-hmm.
And what it's become is it's become a circus.
Yeah.
It's a circus. And, you know, people will now travel to Vegas like they do for Miami, like they do to a lesser extent to New Orleans and to Dallas, where you're not going to have a home field advantage. You're going to have people that want to come visit and do other things besides go to a football game. And they'll go to the football game, but they'll do other things. That's what that looks like. That's what's happening down there. And the only way to mitigate that is if you win. So they're not doing that, obviously. It's just
yeah.
Pathetic.
So where do you think they finish? I mean, they're going to be a 500, I mean, not a 500 team, because there's not going to be any 500 teams unless there's a tie. Are they going to be an 8-9 win team?
I think they'll be lucky to get 9-8. Why?
Yeah.
Based on their history. Their last two seasons, they collapsed. They're,
mm-hmm.
they're primed to do that now. And to no fault, some of this is to no fault of their own.
Right.
Okay? But still, you know, sympathy can only go so far. You have to play ball. And you have to play ball each and every week. And, you know, and the poor fans, such as myself,
mm-hmm.
we'd like to see a winner occasionally, for heaven's sake.
You'd like to?
I mean, it'd be a treat. You know, the last time they were in the Super Bowl, they lost, and it's been a collapse ever since. They've only
The thing is, they're wasting the Derek Carr era.
Oh, and that's another thing. Are they going to pay him? Are they going to pay him? I don't know. I don't know that they're going to do that.
No, we don't know.
And that's sad, too, because if there's anybody that has shown true leadership and true just being a human being
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
has been Derek Carr through this, all these tragedies, all these bad stories that have come out about the players on the team. I've been so proud of that young man.
Yeah.
I just, you know, he's really shown some great character. And they couldn't have had a better quarterback at this time.
No, I agree. Hey, Jim, thank you for the phone call.
Okay, John. Take care.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Tara in Mercer Island. Hey, Tara.
Hi, Mr. Clayton. How are you?
Good. How are you? Are you ready for Thanksgiving?
Yes, I'm ready for Thanksgiving. My brother's coming in town, and we're having a family dinner that I'm excited about.
Oh, tonight. That's fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you. With Chris Carson having season-ending neck surgery, how do you see the running back situation shaping up? Because Alex Collins is only on a one-year deal.
Yeah, yeah. And really, I mean, Rashad Penny's on a one-year deal. I know Pete Carroll said yesterday they're going to try to use him a little bit more this week. I think they're going to be in a position where they're going to be looking for a running back after the season. You know, they anticipate that Carson's going to be back, but can you count on it with the neck injury? I mean, that's, I think, a big question mark. You know, he signed a two-year deal. He is under contract. You know, and certainly I know that, you know, Collins they can bring back because I think they've certainly liked what he's been able to do. But say what you want, as good as he's been, he's a good backup. I don't know if he's a starter.
I agree with you, and I just like his yards after carry. And if you think of Travis Homer and DJ Dallas. I mean, Travis Homer is great at on third down where he has to pass, where Russell has to pass the ball, but I don't know about his leg drive. I like DJ Dallas over him. I mean, I think he's more raw and needs more game snaps to really see what he's like. Mm-hmm. But what do you think of DJ Dallas?
I mean, I think that Dallas is a good third down type of back because, you know, he can catch the ball. He's got good speed. Certainly, you can see on special teams, he's a good returner. He's very elusive. And so, yeah, you'd like to see a little bit more of him. But the big thing is what they cannot do is what they did last week where they only had 11 carries with running backs. I mean, that was ridiculous. I mean, that's to go against Green Bay and, you know, particularly a cover two defense and only have 11 carries. I mean, that's just terrible. So it's like they need to run the ball. And to beat Arizona, you need to run the ball. That's one of their weaknesses is that they're good on defense. They're the fifth best defense in the league, but they're not great stopping the run.
Right. And Chandler Jones always causes Russell Wilson pressure. So you need to, like you just said, be able to run the ball to get the pressure off him. And I'm usually not hard on him, but last week, I don't know if it was Russ or anything, but you saw him, like last year in the Rams game, forcing it to Tyler Lockett and DK on the interceptions when plays weren't there. And I think the running game will and quick screens will take the pressure off him from feeling like he's the hero.
Yeah, I just think, you know, coming back from the injury, missing the three games and all that different stuff, you know, he just wasn't totally in sync. You know, he couldn't get the snap behind center. I mean, he had to do everything in pistol or shotgun and all that stuff. But they passed the ball too many times. And that's something they got to get away from. I mean, that's what got him in trouble last year. And that's what got him, I think, in trouble, particularly in the game. Because the one thing is like, say what you want about the entire season. They've been horrible on third down conversions. Horrible because they get too many down and distance situations, you know, a bad penalty here or there, you know, limited success running the football. You know, they need to do better. But again, we'll see how they do. But they've got to run the ball more, Tara.
Wait, what do you think of the tempo changes? Do you feel like they need to use more of them? I haven't seen them use them that much this year.
What kind of changes you mentioned?
The tempo.
Tempo? No, I think the tempo. Like, I think the tempo is going to be fine, and I think that you know, Russell can get himself into a good tempo, and I think that they need to do that. So I think it's going to be okay. Again, you know, when you lose your starting quarterback for three games, that pays a big price, and so now tempo-wise, I think they can be fine.
Right, and with the Green Bay loss, they have very little margin for error. So do you think they need to now win out the rest of the season, or can we afford to lose?
Well, they can't afford to lose tomorrow's game. Because if you go down 3-7, then literally, I mean, then you have to go with only one loss the rest of the year, and that's going to be tough. You know, what they need to do, they have four winnable games. They've got Chicago, Detroit, Washington, and Houston. That gets them to 7. If they can go 2-2 in the division, that gets them to 9. That, I think, can get them in. But, of course, what you don't want to do is lose the home game to Arizona, because if you lose the home game to Arizona, you're probably not going to win in Arizona. And so all of a sudden, that's the difference between, you know, 9-8 and 8-9, and 8-9 is probably not going to get you in. Hey, Tara, thank you for the phone call.
Thank you.
Okay, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
Well, it looks like they will have Ben Roethlisberger activated tomorrow. Apparently, he's come off the COVID list. And, of course, remember, he got the COVID list on Saturday of last week. But it looks like now they are going to activate him, and he's going to be able to play. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Neil in Seattle. Hey, Neil.
Hey, Don. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, Steve.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I've been a Jets fan since Mark Gastineau's first mullet, since Freeman McNeil was a rookie.
And oh, wow.
When are we ever going to stop being a joke? I mean, I feel like we were respectable a little bit until the butt fumble, and since then we've been the laughingstock of the league. Why? The controversy on everybody's mind, because it's the most important controversy in the NFL. why would you start Joe Flacco over Mike White? He was the savior of the franchise 2 weeks ago. Everybody was talking about how Mike White was going to be the future, and then he has a bad game against the best defense in the world, or in the NFL probably, and now Joe Flacco is going to be starting, which makes no sense. There's no benefit to winning this game. We're not going to the playoffs. I mean, I'm wondering if they're thinking maybe Zach Wilson will learn something more from Flacco than from Mike White. It's possible, but it doesn't seem like there's any reason for it other than to give us more controversy and to make us more of a laughing stock.
Yeah, I agree. It's like, I don't know if it's a matter of Robert Saleh feels like having the veteran quarterback is going to give him a better chance to win, but you know, White looked good a couple weeks ago.
Who cares?
Yeah, I agree. You're right.
I mean, it's an ego thing. So right now, if the season ended, thank you, Seahawks, we have the number 3 and the number 11 pick, right? And
right.
So what, Joe Flacco maybe wins? You know, we have 4 kind of not great teams coming up. So Joe Flacco wins a couple of games, and then we don't get to the playoffs. We have a worse draft pick, and the young quarterbacks don't get experience. It has to be an ego thing, right? Like they just don't want to lose again.
Hard to tell. I mean, it is baffling because, again, it's like you think that they should be able to, it's like, because, again, it was even puzzling when they made the move for Flacco, because I guess they had a lot of questions about Mike White, and he did have a bad game last week. There's no question about that.
Oh, yeah, it was awful.
So it's like all of a sudden, did you just lose confidence in him?
I don't know what they saw, but even if they lost confidence in him, it doesn't make sense to start a 36-year-old over a 26-year-old who might have a chance to get better. It makes no sense. When is my 2011, John? When is it going to be next year? We're going to go on a 10-year run like the Seahawks, or 11 years of always getting into the playoffs and being decent. When's my 2011?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen because, again, it's like at some point they'll get better. I mean, I think Joe Douglas has been drafting okay, so I think that's encouraging. But, again, it's like, their offensive line's still shaky. They have a lot of issues at linebacker, secondary, all those different things. They get some injuries. It's like you just shake your head. And if you're a Jet fan, you're right. I mean, I know we'll probably talk to Jet at the top of the hour. But, I mean, the Flacco move to me was – amazing. Crazy.
It's baffling. It doesn't make any sense. And I think they're trying in some way to appease fans because the fans are fed up. You know, it's been so long, but that's not a way to do it. That's not a way to make the fans happy. The way to make the fans happy is show us someone who has potential to contribute down the line, right?
Well, a lot of times when you have a team that's been bad as them for this longest period of time, how much do you put on ownership? And I think you have to put a significant part on ownership.
Yeah.
Woody Johnson.
The last couple of drafts feel good. You know, Becton is great, but he's hurt. And then Vera Tucker is good. Quinnen Williams is great. I mean, there's pieces. It's just not. And then we have some injuries and some bad contracts. It's just like, when will Jets fans catch a break? And last question, I know you're busy. Do you think Zach Wilson, is it too early to tell whether or not he's going to be a decent quarterback, or are we already smelling bust?
No. It's like, you can't write him off. He's got talent, but I think it's too early. Again, when you start a rookie quarterback behind a shaky offensive line, a lot of issues at wide receiver, no limited running game and all that stuff. I mean, what can you expect? So it's like, you can't write him off right now. The only thing that worries me about him is his small size. He's just not real big. And so it's like you wonder about injuries. And right now it was a knee injury. So it wasn't like because of his size or anything else. And now he's going to miss his 3rd consecutive games. But it's all pretty bad. Hey, Neil, thank you for the phone call.
Thanks, John. Have a great day. Bye.
All right. Thank you. Let's go to Bob in Bothell. Hey, Bob.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, John.
Thank you.
I just wanted to. And by the way, people, happy Indigenous Month. Let's not forget that.
Okay.
Thanksgiving's nice and all that, but I like the natives more. Anyways, Chris Carson injury. What is this, a season injury? I mean, like career ending injury, for him? And what kind of injury in his neck? Because I'm trying to read it on Google, find out. And they just keep on saying neck injury.
Yeah.
I've had my C6, I was a defensive end in high school, and we were doing some exercises. My C6 crushed and pinched my nerve.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor said, that's it, you're done. Because if you continue, the bone on that C6 little vertebrae is just going to crush, and you could possibly be paralyzed or just bad things. So just you're done. Football's done. Now, for Chris Carson, what kind of injury is that? What does he have? That
we don't know, but we know it's a chronic one because apparently, I mean, this could go back all the way to college with him. And so he's had it, and this year it just got worse. And so, I don't say it's career-ending, but it's career-threatening because, you know, now he finally decided that he needs a surgery, which, of course, you know, gives him a chance to recover from it. But also it's like, should that surgery have happened earlier or what's happening? But, right now, you know he's out for the rest of this year, and you hope, and I mean just hope, he's going to be able to come back next year in the last year of his contract.
You know, see, because I'm looking at it, the Seahawks are going to need a strong running game against the fourth best defense in the national, the Arizona.
Yeah,
you know,
fifth best.
And I'm like, how are we going to do this with Rashad Penny? That guy's a bust. That guy's a bust.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's had his chances over and over, and it's just like he just blew it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is there anyone that you've seen in college next year that we could actually go after for a running back? Because Seahawks offense needs a good running back.
No doubt.
To click on
the center. Yeah, I mean, I think the two things that they're going to be looking for at least next year, I don't know if they're going to be looking for cornerbacks or anything else, but I think there's no doubt they've got to look for a running back, and they've got to look for a young left tackle to groom behind Dwayne Brown, because, Dwayne Brown's in the last year of his contract. And so it's like they definitely need to get somebody long term at that position. But, I think that, you hope that Chris Carson comes back. You don't know it. I mean, you would think that, Alex Collins will come back because I think that he likes it here. He's been good. But, again, they need that starting running back because, again, I think he's a very good backup, but he's not that starting running back. But they've got to be looking for running backs next year.
That's true. And I got a second question for you. Has the NFL ever thought of starting a D-League? Because, you got soccer, international soccer, correct? And if your team is that bad, they just kind of demote you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at these records on the NFL, and half of these teams are terrible, John, Mr. Clayton. And I'm like, how are they even allowed? Is it just the owner just being lazy, not even wanting to pay for good players? Here's this. Is it budget-wise? Because if you look at it, about 70% of the NFL teams are crap.
Yeah.
They have good players, but it's always the same three teams, it seems. Either Tampa Bay, with Tom Brady, or I guess I'd say Dallas once in a while, but
they've thought about it, and then of course you remember, they had the the European League that they had, and they just haven't gotten back to it yet. And a lot of it's a matter of it's like, okay, you want to have it financially so you can make it work out, but it just hasn't happened yet.
So they are thinking.
They have been for years, and they have been involved in that for years. And so, but again, it's like, and then you got the open competition because now, you had the XFL. I mean, you've had, all these other different leagues that have started up to try to come in to do it. And, but at some point, what they'd like is if for one of these leagues from February to April that, have some success, then they buy into those things and try to do it. Hey, thank you for the phone call.
Thank you.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Mike in Renton. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, John.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Boy, you're coming in pretty scratchy right now on the phone. Mike? Okay, so Mike, just call back. We'll get you back on here. So let's go to Ed in Shoreline. Hey, Ed.
Morning, JC.
Morning, how are you?
Happy Thanksgiving to you and Pat.
Well, thank you.
Doing well.
You feeling better?
4 days after my surgery.
Yeah.
Doing better.
Oh, good.
Down for the Arizona Cardinals game.
There you go. That sounds good. Should be an interesting one tomorrow.
Should be last week's game. So, much of a microcosm of their whole season and many seasons for the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
Slow start, can't get the running game going, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
A lot of room for the blame to go around, John.
No doubt.
I don't want to put it on anyone specifically.
No, it's a team thing. But, there's no doubt about it. Coaching staff, players, you name it. I mean, that was just a really bad one. It's been, a very difficult start for the season, and they've got to turn it around. If not, the season could be pretty close to being over if they lose this game against Arizona.
Yeah, and it might be already over, John. But
no, I wouldn't go that far. They've got the third easiest closing schedule in football, so that plays to their benefit. But also, they've got to win. And, of course, I mean, it's like one thing to talk about it, but the thing is they've got to be able to do it.
Yeah, I agree. It's pretty painful watching them play right now. That game against Green Bay, it wasn't on in Denver, so I didn't get to see it, but I was replaying it last night. And just the way they start every game,
mm-hmm.
It's like first series, first down, they get 2 yards running on first down, second down, incomplete pass, so they're facing third and eight, and then essentially third down's like a desperation down, and it just keeps replaying itself over and over again. I wish they would turn things around, obviously. I'll say this for the 100th time. The Seahawks are unable to execute a screen pass, and I don't understand why. I like their little trick play where they had a screen pass to Will Disley,
mm-hmm.
And then it was just ridiculous watching that. It's like the two guys that were supposed to block just one defender were unable to do that, and that person made the play. It's just painful to watch, John.
Yeah. No, it is. And, of course, again, you figure that when you lose your starting quarterback for 3 games, you're coming off a bye week, he's got the finger injury and everything else. I mean, everything's not going to be settled for a whole month, a little over a month. And so now it's a matter of like, okay, let's see if they can get some things at least settled down and get a little bit better for this game this week coming up. Now, Arizona comes in with the fifth best defense in the league. They're vulnerable to the running game. That's something that the Seahawks have to take advantage of. I just thought they passed the ball too much because it was kind of like last year where they were 60-40 pass to run, and they ended up having more interceptions in a Russell Wilson era than we've ever seen. And so what happens last week? 2 interceptions, and the next thing you know, they're sitting there with a defense that just wore out in the fourth quarter.
Yes, certainly true. And that's a recurring theme with the Seahawks for several years, too, of
mm-hmm.
having the defense out on the field way too much time and so forth. Well, we learned that Russell is not Superman. He can't come back from an injury in 4 weeks, even though he theoretically did, but he was clearly very rusty and so forth. I'm still wondering why he doesn't run the read option sometimes. I mean, I know it's more risky now with this injury and so forth, but with there being like no threat of him running really at all.
Well, he had 5 carries last week. So, I mean, he did run the ball a little bit more.
He did. Again, I haven't seen the entire game, but I doubt any of them were designed runs or option runs.
No, so that I would agree.
I'd really like to see a little bit more of that, especially as he gets truly recovered from his injury and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be interesting to see what Rashad Penny does. I'll be surprised if he does too much. I feel bad about him. I feel bad about that draft choice. I feel bad for him in general because somehow I think he's a better player than he's showing us right now.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, he got talent. There's no question about it. He's got, second-round talent. I know he was drafted in the first round, but when you draft anybody as a playoff team, after 22, I mean, you're basically getting a second-round grade. But he's got to start to show something because, again, time is running out. Hey, Ed, thank you. Good luck. Enjoy the game tomorrow.
All right. You too, John. You'll be on the sideline, I assume.
Yes, I'm. Because I am thinking about I am going to go to the game tomorrow because, it's going to be, close to you know, in the high 40s and 50 and not going to rain. So, again, I always have to watch out because I don't want to bring anything back to Pat. You know, if the weather's going to be bad, if I'm going to get the flu or something of that nature or whatever. But I will be there on the sidelines as it stands right now. Hey, Ed, thank you. And, of course, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Mike in Renton just called back. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.